Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Please stay standing. I just want to stay in that place where we've just been. I just pray, Father, that your words will come and meet us today, Father. Thank you. You want to activate something in us. You want to activate something. Thank you, Lord, that you want to change our circumstances, that you saved us for something specific. But you want to change our circumstances. You want to renew our minds. You want us to see our lives as you see our lives. And I just pray, Lord, that my words today will just be an opportunity just to challenge, to encourage, that your Holy Spirit will set people free this morning. Set free to what you have, how you see them, how you see them, how you want their lives to be, what plans you have for them, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Before I talk about what God is saying for today, I just think that for those of you who were here last week, we had an amazing word that Clive brought. Not an easy word to bring, okay? And when we stand up in front of the Bible College and the first night that people come, we talk about what we love about Kingdom Faith. And I just think without Pastor Clive and Pastor Colin being here, the thing I love about Pastor Clive and Pastor Colin in this church is that the leaders here love you more than they love themselves. They love me enough to tell us the truth. Not because they want to rebuke us or make us feel in condemnation, because they know what's best for us. They know what's best for us. And therefore, you know, they will put how we feel towards them and how we react to them aside to tell us the truth. Because that's not easy. You know, with your children, it's not easy to rebuke or help or encourage because you fear you can be rejected. But as a church, we are so blessed to have those men of God who are going to tell us the truth over the cost to them. So I think that's, I wanted to say that without them here, because that's one of the things I love here, loved about being here. It's not easy all the time. It's not supposed to be easy all the time. It's supposed to be challenging. So that's where we are. So this morning, okay. So last week we talked about what it means to be a revival people, what it is, what God wants to do in our lives, how it is. And this morning, I want to just unpack some of the things that stop us from moving forward. Some of them are reasons. Some of them are excuses. It'll be different for different people because excuses are reasons you've used for a long time. That's basically what they are, okay? So this morning I feel that God wants to just release something, but can we just take 10 seconds, just close your eyes and just picture God. How do you see God? Do you see God as someone with a stick who's judging you on how you do daily day? Or do you see God as the person who is your number one support? You are the apple of his eye. He wants you to succeed more than anything. He loves you. He wants your life to be fruitful. Yes, he'll deal with us, but he doesn't deal with us with a stick. He deals with us in love so that we become more fruitful. I think it's really important that when we sit there, you just think about what God has done in your life and who he is. It's all a process of where he's taking us. But this isn't a message where God is standing there saying this. God has said, come on, it's okay. Let's go. So I don't know if you've picked up on the move of God hello, by the way, nice smile there. Thank you for that. The move that's happening with us as a people, God wants us to move. God wants us as a church to move. He's got so much for us to do as a people. But that movement starts with all of us individually. Okay, it starts with us all individually. We've all got a part to play in it. We all have a part to play. Everyone there. And if you are sitting there thinking, well, now I haven't got a part to play, I'm telling you, you need to change your mind because the word says you have. God chose you specifically. Each of us have a part to play. Different parts, don't get me wrong. Different parts. This is not normally how I spend my Sunday mornings. I like sitting there rather than sitting here. I'll be honest. But we all have a part to play. And the reality is God just wants us to be faithful in our part, not compare ourselves to other people, but be faithful in our part. So this, the word today, I like a message. It's going to come up on a theme. It's going to be, what is stopping us? What are we waiting for? So if you can turn with me to 1 John 4, verse 18. A couple of weeks ago when, I'd like to say Clive asked me if I would speak this morning, he didn't. He told me that I was, which is fine, because if he'd have asked me, I'd have probably said no. There's a spiritual lesson in that. If you know somebody should be doing something, don't always ask, because then you're giving them a choice. And actually, given a choice, I wouldn't have been here. And so therefore, the first thing we're going to talk about is fear, because that's what happened. He said, I'd like you to speak. He said two things. He said, number one, say what you have on God's heart. And number two, we'll talk about it nearer the time. Now, number two never happened, okay? But number one did happen. God did share with me what's on my heart. And fear is something that we all struggle with. It is something we struggle with. But in the Word, because what God has done is He's written this, the Bible. We read the Bible. What do we read the Bible for? We read the Bible. And so God speaks to us. He shows His character. He shows who He is. He shows how things happen. So actually we can learn how God is. And God doesn't change from year to year. He is the same every year. So when we read this, the Word, it's okay. There were people, the men of God who were called to do something had fear, but God showed a way to overcome. So this Word could have been, it's okay where you are. It's been okay where you are, but God has got a plan for you to move, okay? And the plan is in here. And we all understand that you know, God speaks in two words in terms of His Word. There's the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, which we have to go and look for, or there's a Rhema Word of God. And I don't know for you guys, but for me, the spoken word to me, the Rhema Word, where God ignites something to me, is the one that I like the most, because it's actually the easiest one, because I don't have to go and look for it. God speaks. But so many times in my life, I've waited for the spoken word of God into my life to go and do X or go and do Y. But the whole time it was written down here anyway. And sometimes we wait, we say, well, I'll hear what God says about it. If you want to know what God says about it, read your Bible, because it's often in there. We don't need a word of the Lord to love. It's in here, you know, a specific word. It's written in there. So the Rhema and the Logos work together. But it is in here. So in 1 John 4 verse 18, it says, there is no fear in this kind of love that comes from God. His love is perfect and it drives fear out of our lives. The one who is afraid fears that he will be punished by God. Such a one does not have this perfect love operating fully in his life. When I prepared this and God was speaking to me, I sort of went through the process because when you're challenged with when God is saying something to you, the first thing we think about is punishment. Cause that's, but God is not here to punish us. Okay. He saved us for a specific reason. He sent His Son to die for us, to give us all that we need. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh no, this is going to be heavy, it's not. Okay. The punishment was borne by Jesus on our behalf. Okay. That's the mercy of God. The grace of God is everything that He's going to give. Because of the mercy of God, okay? I know that fear can be crippling, but God has a word for you. I am with you. We sang it in that verse. I am with you. I will go with you. It will be different next time. God has a plan for you. Don't allow fear to stop you from doing what God is saying to you. Don't allow fear to make choices where you'd rather not do things. Second one I'd like to talk about is previous hurt. Previous hurt. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter 2, page verse 24 and 25. Get rid of that. You're all very quiet. This is He who took all our sins upon Himself when He hung on the cross, so that so that now we might die to a life of sin and live in ways that are right and pleasing to God. It is through his wounds that we are healed and set free completely. We often think about healing in the sense of specific ailments, bad leg, bad back, whatever, those sort of things. There's an emotional healing. When John Mellor was here a few weeks ago, is it John Mellor? John Mellor was here a few weeks ago. I was supposed to be on the catching team, and Clive said, "Can you pray?" And I wasn't expecting it. And there was a few people, but God really spoke to me about it wasn't actually what the healing was in the person. It was all emotional healing. It was all emotional healing that God wants to heal our emotions. Things in the past that have happened, God wants to set you free from that. Yes. We say things like, it's in the past, so it's in the past. But if it's affecting your reality today, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. And we're going to have some response time at the end here, because I think that with this word, most important, it's not what I say or what God says to you, it's how you respond. How the Holy Spirit catches in your heart. Well, what's going to be different tomorrow? What's going to be different tomorrow? So therefore, with that morning, it was so interesting to be with them and hear. It was mainly a lot of emotional hurts and those sort of things, rejection and those kind of things. God wants to release you from that. If you're scared because you've got fear because you've got previous hurts, God wants to release you from that. That's why Jesus died. Not only for you to get access to God and for the relationship to be restored, but also for all that comes with that. And that is with mental healing and physical healing. So if you're sitting there today thinking, I'm not going to do that for X, God is saying, I'm going to release you today. I'm going to heal you today. I'm going to take those reasons away for you to move into what I have for you. The third one is pride. Okay? Pride. I nearly changed this to, because I didn't like the word pride. I had a conversation with Andrew and Chris Simmons in the comms when they were doing the slides, which I assume are behind me. They are. And I said, shall I use the word pride? And Chris said, well, that's what you are going to talk about, so let's use that word. Because we don't like the word for pride. The sense that I'm prideful, because actually they're... But if I'm honest with myself, a lot of the things that I do come out of whether I think I'm good enough or whether I'm ready, et cetera, et cetera. And that, when you get down to the nub of it, is pride. So if we go to Matthew 25, verse 21, it says this. His master replied, "You have done well. You are good and a faithful servant. You have proved your faithfulness in a small way, and I will give you much more responsibility. Come and share in your master's joy." He didn't say, "Wait, I've got something massive for you." Now, God has got something massive for all of our lives. Okay? He has got something massive for your life. He wants you to affect the people around you. Your friends, your family, my friends, my family, the people we come into contact with at work are reliant on you. They're some people's eternal destinies are reliant on how we are. God, that is the reality of our calling. We are called to introduce people to the one who saves. Now that's not a big burden, and you're not responsible, but you are responsible for your part in it. Whether that's be loving or be kind at work for someone who really winds you up, because that's the reality of it. Don't have that where I work, because no one winds me up where I work. And that was a faith statement for Monday. But actually, in a Christian environment, when we work together, sometimes we can not deal with stuff in the way that we need to deal with. In a non-Christian environment, But pride is really, really important with in terms of where God speaks. And we are a people of faith, okay? And we believe and hear what God is talking to us about what we have for our lives. But I just want to have a look at one thing. In terms of, in this word, it says about you've been faithful in the small things. Now, many people here are extremely, extremely faithful in everything they do. But God wants each and every one of us to be faithful in the small things. It's really, really important. It's a principle. It's like when a child is born, he has to be faithful in crawling, if you want to put it that way. And then he learns how to be faithful in walking, and then he can run. It's a godly principle of how what God does with us. Look at Stephen in the Word. When, you know, they went around and they said, who is the man of God to serve? Stephen. That's what the man of God did. He served. Now, he was one of the men of God, and he saw God massively work in his life. And I don't know, I'm going to use an analogy here that is not the most spiritual analogy, but who here has seen The Karate Kid, the film, The Karate Kid, the original one, the original one? There is something in that thing, and I looked at it this morning because I've got it on my planner. How embarrassing is that? I have The Karate Kid on my planner because my kids love it. I don't love it. The kids love it. And Daniel, who is the main character, went to Mr. Miyagi and he said to him, can you teach me to fight? And Mr. Miyagi said, yeah, come tomorrow. You can fight. So he turns up on the first day and he gets him to wash all his cars. The wax on, wax off. And then the next day he comes up and he says, you teach me to fight. And he says, sand my deck, I think he was. I did check this morning, but I think it was sand the floor. And then the next day it was paint the fence. And the last one, I can't remember what it was, in that. And at the end, Daniel turned around to him on the last night and he'd been off somewhere and he'd been doing all this work and it was painting the house. That was what it was, painting the house. And the house, everything looked great. And Daniel said to Mr. Miyagi, he goes, I'm fed up. I've done all this work for you. And I thought I'm not your skivvy just to carry on. That's basically what he says in an American accent, which I won't do. I'm not your skivvy. What have I learned? And Mr. Miyagi stands in front of him and then attacks him. And all the things that he'd learned, okay, were there inside him when the fight came along. He knew how to block. He knew how to do that. I think that God works in a similar way. That actually the basic things of life that he does and he shows us when we're on the walk are so that we know the principles of God when we're in the fight. And therefore, sometimes when we say, I don't want to wax the floor, sand the floor or wax the car, we miss out what God wants to teach us, because we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey of where God wants to take us. And it's a silly analogy, I know, but the reality is that those things became so inbred in him that when he was attacked, he knew exactly what to do. Sometimes, as people, and I've been there myself, and I still often there, sometimes I don't want to do the things that I see are beneath me. But who am I to say they're beneath me? Sometimes it's a servant. Jesus came as a servant. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't want to do the difficult things. But actually, I think the actual gold for what God has for our lives are in some of those things. Yeah. They're the joy of the thing. So I would encourage you, if you're not involved in the things that go on and you're a little thinking, what, God, I go to this church, what do you want me to do? I want to get involved. Get involved in anything. It doesn't matter what you get involved in. It doesn't matter whether you're involved in car parking, laying out the chairs, making coffee. It doesn't matter. Number one, God will use you. He will use you in that circumstances because you may have the answer for the person who's doing the same next to you. And secondly, he'll teach you something about yourself in the process. He'll teach you something about your process itself. So don't despise the days of small things. And that's what the Word says. You know, we all look at what people do and think, oh, that'd be great. But actually, there's a spiritual truth in being involved in the little things. It will really help. We've got to start somewhere. So I'd encourage you, if you're not involved in anything we do, just pick one. Anyone. Just get involved. Okay? The reason he does that as well, okay, is that he teaches us stuff is when we start small, he knocks edges off us. Because if, you know, God might, look at Joseph. He had a word from God. You're going to be, all these people are going to bow down to you. Right? And what did he do? He went and told all these people and they didn't like it. So he might have a bit of a pride and a bit of an arrogance thing in his life. And then he was thrown into slavery and then God raised him up. And then Potiphar's wife, lied told a barefaced lie, and he was back in prison. You know, was God not in it? Of course God was in it. But God had to teach him some things about him. So he was the man, he was ready, the character, the things that needed to happen in his life were ready when he did rule the people. Because otherwise, if he hadn't done that stuff, how would he have dealt with his brothers? I know how I would have dealt with them, you know. I hope I would have dealt with them. Andrew, you know, I'm sorry if you think I'd deal with you that way. You know, but you understand. God gets us involved in things because he's got to teach us stuff. You learn on the job. You learn when you're doing it. You learn when you make mistakes, when you upset someone in small group and you say something to them. And actually, it was true, but you didn't really say it in the best way. Because you can have the truth, but if you don't give it to someone in a way that they can accept it and it move them forward, you might as well not bother. Because that's not love. Because we're here to see people move forward. So it's not about how you want to do it. It's about how they can best move forward. Which is hard. Don't get me wrong. But that's why God puts you in scenarios to train you, to help you. So you learn not how to damage other people along the way. Okay. The fourth area that stops us is unforgiveness. You know, when Clive talks about the three chairs, chair of rest, which isn't, by the way, this chair of rest isn't a chair of holiday, by the way. It should be renamed the chair of peace, and I'm going to work flipping hard until we get to where we're going. Okay? Doing what God says. The chair of rest isn't a holiday. If you have that in your mind, you know, God called us to work. That's what he saved us for. We've got lots to do. Yeah. It's not a chair of, I'll sit around. This is the chair of self. And this is the chair of not knowing him. When we're in unforgiveness, we're not in this chair. You can't be, by definition. You can't be in a chair of rest or peace with God when you're holding unforgiveness in your life. And if you turn to Mark, this is what it says. Whenever you pray, it is essential that you forgive anyone against whom you hold anything. For then your heavenly Father will also forgive you all your sins. But if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a scenario where God has asked me to do something, my peace, that peace of being in that chair of rest is the barometer of where I'm at. If I'm holding unforgiveness or not dealing with something in my life, what it actually does for me is makes me realize that I'm in this chair. So I know that when I'm praying for God to do something or speak or do something, that I'm from that chair if I haven't got forgiveness. I haven't forgiven someone, because it's really important that we don't have that. We don't bring any separation between us and God. And unforgiveness, whether you realize it or not, it actually robs you from your peace. That's it. Because at the end of the day, you know that you're not following what God's telling. A basic commandment. I've forgiven you, you forgive others. That's basically what it is. You know, I didn't ask you to justify your actions so I could accept you. So don't ask them to justify their actions, okay? That's basically what it comes down to. So therefore, for me, I find it very difficult to move on to the next thing without, and one of the reasons is unforgiveness. Okay. And what I'm trying to show to you guys is if you're there and you're thinking, God, what am I going to do? These are the things that can inhibit you moving forward. These are the things that can inhibit. And actually, people, well, how being involved in church and being involved in the life, how has that affected in God releasing me into the next thing if I hold unforgiveness? They are so intrinsically linked, because God wants you to deal with the things, wants me to deal with the things that I need to deal with in my life so I can be more effective. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. The fifth thing is too comfortable. Oh, you all shifting in your seats? Good. Good. Number five. Oh, that's for me, number five. This is what it says in Matthew 25. The king will say to the sheep on his right, "You are blessed by my Father. So come and claim your inheritance, the kingdom he prepared for you since creation began. For you fed me when I was hungry, and you satisfied my thirst. When I came to you in the form of a stranger, you invited me in to stay. When I needed clothing, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. Then the righteous, the sheep, will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we satisfy your thirst? When did we invite you in as a stranger or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for another person who I regard as my brother, you actually did for me. Good. One of the things that God has been speaking to me about is that he expects us, the way that he loves us, and the way is he expects us to reflect that out to others. We're not to respond to people around us how they respond to us. We're to reflect how God is to us. That's what the word says. It says that I expect you to do these things for other people because they're for me. We can't do anything for God. We can't give anything to God. He is perfect. He doesn't need us to do that. But actually in our lives, we show our love for him and how much our lives are submitted to him in how we respond to other people. Awful challenge, I know, for myself personally, but that is the reality of it. You know, and God wants us to see people changed. God wants to see us change. Now, none of this is condemnation in this. If this, all these things you're saying, because I had to deal with this yesterday when I wrote this, or what God was saying, you know, if any of these things you're struggling with, it's fine. God's got a plan. It's called repentance and forgiveness. He died for us to fight. There's a plan for everything that you have. If you're struggling with the things of fear or hurt, he's got healing for you. God has a plan for every situation you're in your life. It's called Jesus. That is the plan. He talks about it in his word. He talks about it in our life. It's okay to be where you are today. It's okay. But from now on, what's God going to be different? What are you going to do differently tomorrow? What is God going to release in your life to go forward? And a lot of it's in our minds. Okay. The penultimate one. Distant living. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, this, for me, this has been the hardest challenge in my spiritual work. Who's seen the film About a Boy? You know, in About a Boy, Hugh Grant turns around and says, she said, no man is an island. He goes, I am an island, I'm Ibiza, right? I never thought of myself as Ibiza. And I have said this to Katie, I am an island, I'm Kefalonia, because Kefalonia is a bit more relaxed and chilled out than Ibiza. But the reality is that when I came to the Bible college 20 years ago, did I know what God had for me? No. You know, when you look at, and I wanted to know the whole plan. I think, God, why don't you show me everything? And he said, well, I'm not going to, because you can't deal with it. Look at Moses. You know, he said, go to speak to Pharaoh. Go and tell him to let my people go. That's what he had, let my people go. He didn't then say to him, oh, by the way, you're going to walk around for 40 years. Don't hit the rock too many times because you'll get upset if I don't let you in. You know, he didn't give him the whole story. He gave him the bit that he needed to do. So why do we think we would be any different? Why do we think that God said, well, God, you've told me to do X. Go and see Shirley round the corner. And it's fine. But if he said, oh, go and see Shirley over 6 years of effort, she'll come to an alpha course and she'll get born again. Would we come? But that is the reality of what happens in people's lives. And that's where, you know, what is the first step? What is the first step? Now, distant living is really, really important. And I don't want to be sexist, but particularly for men. Because we do, we isolate ourselves. This morning, with Malcolm, when we were going through it, I said, this is a word for men, where we live in our own little island, and we do our own little thing, and we don't want to get involved in stuff. Now, God put a plan in place to stop that from happening. It's called the church. It's as simple as that. That is the way that God wants us to work out his principles together in each other's lives. Why do you think he wants that for us? Because we need it. We need it. We need it in our lives. So let's read here what it says. The human body consists of many different parts, but they all work together as a single unit. Many parts, but one body. It's similar with the body of Christ. We have all seen that the body has not one part, but many. Imagine the foot saying, "I am not a hand, so I do not belong to the body." To say a thing would mean that the foot could not belong to the body. Would that mean the ear ceased to be part of the body? If the body consisted only of an eye, it would not be able to smell anything. But in his wisdom, God has arranged every part of the body precisely according to his plan. If everyone was alike, there could be no body. Yet the facts are clear. We are made of many parts, but we have only one body. In the body of, just nipping forward a couple of verses. In the body of Christ, God has drawn together diverse members and given greater honor to those who have never in the past been honored. He wants no division in the body, for all to be regarded as important to have concern for one another. Small groups. Okay. This word is not about, small groups. It's not about getting involved in the hub. It's not about getting in serving. It's about the life that God wants us to lead. And the life that God wants us to lead is to be in other people's lives. Now you might say, and I did say this, I don't really want to do that, Katie, because that person really winds me up. And do you know what? The thing that had to come on my mind was that the problem wasn't them. It was me. And God was showing me something about me that I needed to change. Now, that's what small groups are there for, okay? And that's what living life together is, that we are accountable to each other. We help each other. We support each other. Now, lots of people are in small groups, but if you're not in a small group, just ask yourself the question, why? Because actually, you may be the answer or have the word for the person who's in that small group. It might not be about you being in it. It might be about not about what you get. It might be about what you give to someone else. And that's what a body is for. That's what a body is for. We are here to help each other, not criticize or judge or do all that stuff, but to get alongside and say, do you know what? Yes, you have messed that up. But what are you going to learn from it? What God's saying to you, and what are you going to do differently tomorrow? Because God is a redeeming God. God has redeemed your life. He will redeem your actions. So do not let that trick of, oh, I find it very difficult. I'll go on a Sunday. And I'll do the things I want to do, but I'm not really going to throw my life into it because it's too painful. Well, it's supposed to be painful, okay? It is supposed to be painful because God says he will deal with the flesh. We have got, you know, I said earlier on about leaders who put things in for the best, our best. You know, we've got the week of prayer. Starting at the beginning of the month, we've got the new Bible verse. We've got a VIP, is it VIP or counter night, impact and counter night on the 9th. We don't put these meetings aren't put in so we could just fill the diary, so we use the building. They're put in because these are the principles that we learn and God meets with us and deals with us and helps us so we can be better in what we do. Some could say it's the wax on, wax off, or the sign in the floor. Yeah, those are the principles. They're not teaching us the principles of karate. They're teaching us the principle of God being involved and who he is. So don't want you to, don't listen to this and think, oh, I better go to, you know, Impact on Week Wednesday because the bloke at the front said I had to. That don't come if that's where you're at. Come because you want to meet with God. Come because you want to see God activate something in your life. Come because you want to see other people's lives changed. The final one is, if you turn to 2 Corinthians, this is a painful one, this. Painful for me, because I can always justify my behaviour, but God isn't interested in my justifications, he's interested in my heart. And when we make excuses, what we do is stop God's plan from happening. We pause the plan. If you've got something wrong, there's an easy plan that God has. It's repent and be forgiven. It's as simple as that. If we make an excuse about it, what do we stop? We just stop the plan that God designed to release us from happening. So excuses is extremely way that we trick ourselves. Well, we can justify it because they are that, or I'm that, and they did this to me, and Billy upset me and said I didn't have very nice shoes. But actually, well, there's some of the things in the conversations I have, you know, on the reality of it. And God wants us to realize, yes, people will upset you. I think someone said to me the other day that someone said in a church, I think it was Brian Houston, if you stay in this church long enough, someone will upset you. It's just a matter of time. If you spend enough time with me, I will upset you, right? But that's because I'm on a journey too. I don't want to upset you, but please, if I upset you, come and tell me. And I'll ask for your forgiveness. We'll learn something about each other and we'll move forward. That's the plan. That is the plan. The plan isn't to go home and then moan about it to your wife, who goes, yeah, no, I don't like him either. She doesn't say that. She says, well, go and sort it out with them, because God has a plan to sort it out. We can't sort it out ourselves. You know, if you've got fear in your life, you can't sort it out. If you've got hurt, you can't sort it out. It's all about Jesus and what Jesus did. Jesus made a way. But Jesus made a way to activate our lives. And my prayer for us as a people is that we are activated into what God has for us individually. So if there are things that God has spoken over your life you haven't seen come to pass, was God wrong? Or is he waiting for you, maybe? Because there's a certain things that we need to do. Is he waiting for you to deal with those certain things? I don't know. I don't know what goes on in yours. I know the things that stop me. And actually, it's a bit of all of them, if I'm completely honest. Okay. Pete, were you in the band? Come up. When I was praying the other day, God talked to me about the side effects of being a Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm using this analogy because side effect, it isn't the right one to use side effects. But you know, when you get medicine and you open a box and it says you've got a headache or you've got a sore throat and you read it and it says, if you take these drugs, you might have kidney failure, and you think, flipping heck, I'd rather not bother. The Christian, it'd be very helpful if when we got before God, before we gave our life, he just said, hold on a second. Can you just read this disclaimer that says, these are the side effects of being a Christian. Right. Should we just go through what they are? It's going to be extremely painful to the flesh. It is supposed to be. People will do things to you and you're not allowed to retaliate. You have to forgive them. People will upset you. It's part of the plan. It's not that people just decide to do it. God knew that at the time. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit to deal with stuff. So therefore, the reality and the side effects of things will not go the way that you want them to. They didn't go the way that Moses wanted to. They did not go the way that Joseph wanted. Yeah, Joseph wanted. They just didn't go the way. But did he get there? Did they reach the plan? They did. But what did they do? They persevered. They didn't sit at home and get upset. They didn't sit at home and think, oh, well, I can't bother to go because none of those people, I don't really connect with them, okay? I don't really connect with them, or I don't feel like I'm part of it. Come part of it. There's hundreds of things. We want you to be part of everything we do. We want people to be part of everything because we know it's good for you. A, that we can help you, and B, that we can grow together and go where what God wants us to be. So don't think that the side effects aren't planned. It's supposed to be painful. I can't tell you anything else. It is painful, but it wouldn't be, I wouldn't have it any other way. Now I know the truth of what God has for me. I wouldn't have it any other way. And if we duck it, if you duck things, if there's things I've said to you today, God is saying to you in the Holy Spirit, and you decide, well, I'll deal with that down the line, that's fine. That's what the Israelites did. They walked around in the desert for 40 years. But it'll come around again. Come around again. So if we want to duck this stuff, we can. But it'll only come back. Now, why is God doing this? Because he's a father who wants to see us moving into all that we have. But he has to deal with some of the things along the way. Do you see that as negative or do you see that as positive? I see that as positive when I look back. I don't when it's happening.
Yes.
But I know that God wants me to be fruitful. So he deals with the issues that I have to make me more fruitful. Well, do you not do that with your children? Would you, isn't that what we say? We want our children to grow up. We don't. It's not a popularity contest. It's about them growing up into being all that God has for them. One of the things that I tricked myself for many years, sitting at the back, waiting for God to do something, was I honestly thought that God would change his rules to suit me. You all applied to one rule, but he had a specific rule set for me. He was going to make allowances for me. And if I'm honest, it's only at that point when I realised that God wasn't going to do that. God will never change. He's no respecter of people. But he does stuff because in our lives, because he needs to show us things. And he stood there so graciously. I'm ready when you are, Simon. It's today the day. It's today the day you're going to give me that part of your life. Are you going to submit? Are you going to move forward? Are you going to deal with your pride? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to stop making excuses? And are you going to partner with me in what I have for you? I put that challenge to each of us that God is saying that today. And there's many of these things here are reasons that we have here. And I want us all to stand. Just take 30 seconds to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. He's not condemning you. He is challenging you. He loves you. He has so much for your life. He is your number one fan. God is your number one fan. But he knows there's things that you have to deal with. It was the same with Isaac on the fire, that he had to put him on the fire because he had to show that he loved what God was saying to him over the promise that he thought God had for him. But God still turned up and did what he needed to do. So as we're going to pray now, there's the things on the wall that are going to come up. Now, some of these may apply to you, some of them may not apply to you. But God wants to see freedom in those areas in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to see freedom. I can't bring freedom to your life. The Holy Spirit can bring freedom to your life. Just pray to him. Just repent where you need to repent. Don't make excuses. Don't blame someone else. Forgive where you need to forgive. Decide where you're going to pick up, where you've got a little bit lax in things. It's okay, because tomorrow's going to be different. Tomorrow's different. God, today is the day that the Lord has made. And today he wants to set you free. He wants to set you free in everything he has for you. And in Joel, it talks about repairing the years that the locusts have eaten. And God will do that for you. You may sit there and be thinking, I've wasted this time. Haven't. God will repair the years that the locusts have eaten. So Father, I just thank you as this morning that for everyone now that you would just meet with them where you need to speak to them, where you need to help them. I pray, Lord, for people who are hurt, where people have been hurt in the past, Lord, they forgive. But you release people from that. You release them from the pain that you have made a way. Jesus made a way to forgive. Jesus made a way for healing. Jesus made a way for everything we have in our life. Just speak to him. I can't pray for you. Just speak to him in the areas that are to you. Just take a minute to decide what God is saying to you. What's going to be different tomorrow? What are you going to do differently? How are you going to live the life that you gave to him? It's his life. You are owned by him. How are you going to live differently?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.